This is Flow and Vent Radio. Flow and Vent Radio. With Rob, Mike, and Mike.
Yo.
Yeah, we were listening to the Call Her Daddy podcast on the way up here.
It's good. Thank God for those girls.
I'm trying to say, how could we change up the intro now to something funnier? But we're here in progress. Not progress. Yeah. I remember that. It's not progress.
No. Progress.
Progress, Pennsylvania.
We're live and in living color today on this beautiful Wednesday, and July. It's Wednesday, right?
I think so.
I don't even know what day of the week it is anymore.
What's new? What's happened? Anything?
Same shit, different day.
Nothing. No yobs. Well, only the firehouse kind of burned down.
Yeah, we had a pizzeria fire big in the guys, but that was it.
That was bigger.
A little bit. But we'll talk about that later. Let's talk about why we're here today, because...
Yeah, we took a journey.
We took a
Wednesday journey.
Yeah.
Not to Cabela's.
At least it wasn't the St. Patrick's Day this time.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah, that was St. Patty's time.
Yeah.
So, Kyle, if you want to introduce yourself, you don't want to introduce yourself, he's going to be the voice of the progress world today.
Progress, bro.
Progress. I'm sorry. So, we're back here. Thanks again for having, you know, for letting us come in. It's been a hot minute since we've been here.
Yeah.
Anytime, guys. More than welcome.
It's a brand new tower ladder. Since the last time we've been here, we're looking at right now.
Everything. Rescue engine,
yeah, rescue
Chief's car.
Yeah.
It's so pretty here.
It is pretty here, guys. It's very pretty.
So, hot topics today.
I
mean, I definitely want to talk about the Live In program because
yeah.
By us, I wish we would have one just because of what's going on in the volunteer world, period. See, there we go.
It's
50-50, I know.
It's 50-50 because, you know, we don't have the... It's hard to say.
But do we? We could. We have colleges all around us.
Which one? Rampo?
Rampo, Bergen Community.
Yeah, but who's it going to benefit? University of Central Primes is going to benefit the five fire companies in that town.
Well, it's different.
Rampo is going to benefit the five fire companies in that town. You know, my podunk 2-square-mile town, what do I have? 4 pizzerias, 9 nail salons, and a high school. What does it benefit?
The town, the people.
Yes, but where are we going to pull from?
That's why we're here to ask questions.
why is somebody going to live in my firehouse and still have to commute 20 minutes to go to school?
Because you're a fast team every time.
Where they can live in a... That's well and good.
But that's how you get people. Yeah. I don't know.
I think the live-in program, if it's set up the proper way, as we can see here, it benefits greatly. But it benefits greatly in some ways. And in some ways, like we talked about earlier, the turnover is just... It's real. You see it.
It's life.
But it's life.
Right. So.
I want to talk about riding assignments, and I want to talk about how you start on the wagon, and you slowly...
Now wait. It's a wagon. This guy's talking engine for 20 episodes.
I'm
now
just trying
it's
to,
a wagon.
I'm just trying to fit in here.
Blood pressure here.
Yeah. I mean, don't worry. We'll get back to the Jersey border. I'll start calling an engine again real fast. But I want to talk about how they start off.
But there's a difference.
There is a difference, and you work your way up to the truck. I think it's different in most places.
Right.
We're not, by us especially, we're not fortunate enough to, you have your guys who are great on the truck and who have the preferred seat, but,
mm-hmm.
you got a guy who needs to get on the, a seat filler who you know is a decent fireman, they're getting on the truck whether,
maintain it.
Yeah, to maintain, to make sure.
I got to get done.
Exactly.
So, and God, if you don't mind, just go into, like you were talking about earlier, the program, how it's working,
Yeah,
the niche, the bones.
Oh man, it's pretty good. To cover it up from the start, this department actually was ahead of the curve in many aspects, starting back in early years. And in 78, they got a idea to let guys be here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Right.
And they started out with 2 guys. The upstairs on the building is an addition. It wasn't original. It's not what they lived in when they lived here and started it up. And then over the year, there started to become more calls, more fires, more interest. And they ran with it. And when they ran with it, I think they ran with it in the right direction and really set things up great for the future of this place and just have continued to build. So it's... obviously a huge benefit to the department, to the community, to the mutual aid departments, who many of them have also gotten on board here, and started up programs and are out there going after the same kind of guys that we are, that want to get into the fire service, still continue some education. Like you mentioned the colleges, Harrisburg Community College has the fire science program. That's 5 minutes down the street from us, wow. essentially. And so that was what attracted me here, is the combination
right.
of being able to go pursue an associate's in fire science right out of high school. And, HAC doesn't have on-campus housing.
Right.
So I can go stay in a firehouse for free anyway, which is, like, the line of work that I wanted to get into. But that was back in 2004 I moved in.
Right.
And me learning about this place and coming here is so much different than it was to try and get kids attracted and actually get them in our doors here today. The amount of options weren't there at
right.
the time. The availability to find out about those options, you really had to search online and do homework if you were looking
mm-hmm.
to. But I just, I heard a couple guys talk about this place, said that they go to a bunch of fires and run a bunch of calls, which, coming from a department where I ran 180 fire calls a year, maybe like 7 or 8 fires a year.
Right.
Big step
term.
Up into the big leagues, And we still get a lot of guys that come here,
mm-hmm.
and that's the background that they have when they come in. So it is a big term. But the way that this place is molded, our training program and our approach to everything and trying to do things the right way, get the right things instilled in these younger guys and pass things down
mm-hmm.
from generation to generation like all fire departments should do, they nailed it. And I think that we run a pretty smooth operation. Obviously, nothing's perfect. It's not a perfect world we live in. But, we still have our wants and desires and goals. But I think a big part of it is that we've been in smooth operation here
mm-hmm.
with how we want to run the show for quite a while. So, and that helps us set the tone.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'll pop for you. I wish we had it. Even up from where we're from, I know you say, who's a benefit? But you look at, not the PG model, but just that that PG's a big combination department,
yeah.
right? And you have companies everywhere. Everybody says the University of Maryland, okay. But you can still join other companies. There are people, and that's what I kind of get what you were saying with, what are they going to offer besides the 5 companies of that town that the school's in? I don't know.
I think.
But that, like you said, the training program that you guys put on here, for anybody that follows social media, they know, this area. They know Progress with the Living Academy, and all that. So,
that's a huge.
I think that's a big buy-in. You know, you're gonna go to train. You're not just going there to ride calls. You're going there
for the experience of being a firefighter. Plain and simple. You're going there, yes, to run calls, and you're gonna get to see some work, and you're gonna get to do a bunch of things. But you're going there for the experience. You're gonna train every day. You're gonna do your house duties every day, and on top, you're still going to school.
Right.
So it's like you said, it's the best of both worlds. You got an associate's in fire science, and you got to be a fireman at the same time.
Right. And so that's the big pitch is, when you get these kids and you sit them down and everything like that. I got some things that on paper don't look very attractive.
Right.
But if you give us the time of day to sit down with you and explain some things and actually show it to you and give examples in form versus reading it on a sheet of paper. Sounds a little bit sexier.
Yeah.
We talked about the whole common style bunk room
right.
earlier upstairs. Not everybody wants to sleep 2 to 3 feet away from somebody that
right.
they didn't know a week ago. But guess what? In the real world, those are the conditions that you may go to work in.
Mm-hmm.
And it teaches you how to be around people, how to work with people, and how to mature. Like
right.
bringing kids in at 18 years old, the vast majority of them have never lived anywhere other than mom and dad's house,
right.
and now they're going to somewhere where mom and dad ain't nowhere around.
Right.
So it is that culture shock, but it's also that turning point where you can really tell guys, hey, look, when you come here and all this freedom that you've wanted your entire late teenage years,
right.
whatever you want to call that.
Yeah. Right.
It's now. Now
you're responsible.
Yeah.
But you get to have it.
You're gonna have
a pretty
long leash around here,
right?
I think it works out for all parties involved. You brought up the training process that we go through with these people that come in here, and how we pretty much got it down to a step process to build them from piece apparatus to piece apparatus,
right.
and continue building skills up for them. which I think is a great thing. But like that doesn't sound as sexy as
right,
you,
like,
you come here, you can jump on anything and ride.
Yeah. On paper, you're like, well, I want to ride the ladder, but
I don't want guys that are looking for the easy way.
Exactly.
Guys,
you want guys
to
earn it.
So
earn
I'm going to be upfront with that, and I'm going to tell you.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, like Lieutenant Seeds is the one that does the recruitment now.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, he had sat in with me on some meetings and whatnot with some new prospects before, and him and I have talked extensively about it since he got the reins on running the day-to-day operations with the Live-In, being the first point of contact and
right.
setting up these recruitment meetings with these people that are interested in it. And I know that I'm sure that he is still doing a fantastic job of giving these people, you know, we're not gonna sit here and promise you unicorns and rainbows, man.
Right.
You're not going to get them
yeah.
every day. But what we want is we want to be upfront with people and let them really know what they're trying to get themselves into and make a decision as
right.
to whether it's good for them. It does no good for me to train somebody for them to turn around and leave 2 months later because it's not what they think it's going to be.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Yeah,
so.
But we touched on this earlier, so I want to kind of dig into it a little bit. Was we talked about the Live-In Academy.
Right.
And so I want to talk about, you know, if say, you know, someone was listening, you know, senior in high school, they decide they're going to come out here. You know, how does it start? They have, you know, obviously they go through the interview process, all that. How does your academy start? You know, do you come in that day and once, you know, you can get on a rig, or how exactly do you guys go about starting that process and starting to train guys? When can they start riding on calls? When does that all happen?
So it depends on the person and the certification levels that they bring in.
Mm-hmm.
If we got somebody that's coming in with Fire 1, or at least completing Essentials, which can
right.
it includes the structure burn certificate and everything like that, you know, Pennsylvania's behind the times with training requirements. And so we don't like to fall back on that as the default
mm-hmm.
acceptable practice.
Yeah.
But at the same point, where we get some wiggle room, sometimes
yeah.
we wiggle and make it work, you know. Like, for instance, if I got a guy that, you know, I come in, he comes in the middle of the summer, and he goes to a bunch of training with us like that and everything like that, but he doesn't have his structure burn completed
mm-hmm.
and all that, you know, we're going to set him on the outside for a little
right.
bit. And he's gonna be allowed to ride. He's going to be an exterior guy.
Yeah.
But then once we hit Live-In Academy and we have multiple live burn scenarios throughout Live-In Academy, he goes in and performs okay with that and everything.
Right.
Then at that point, we're going to take advantage of
that
stuff
right.
and we're going to judge that person for how they are and how comfortable we are
right.
with what they're doing. And, you know, if we can, we're going to come at least to try and get them inside. Now, obviously, they're going to be pushed to
right.
obtain their certifications as soon as possible,
right.
which is requirements of probation
mm-hmm.
anyway. But, you know, typically when we bring people in, we're looking at no less than a week before Live-In Academy, which is always generally the second full week in August. The weather is outstanding for that week around here typically. But it's the Live-In Academy itself started, I believe, in 1994. And it was no structured thing. It was just guys that were around during the day would
mm-hmm.
call a pack. And a big shout out to them. They've been great partners to work with. It's, you know, the local training center for
right.
Dauphin County units. And they've worked with us fantastically through doing different things with training and whatnot. But anyway, so they we get the facility for the week and we head down. And what those guys would do is they would just take us down and,
right,
and
I nonstop.
I specifically remember mine, man. Like, you would run a line, and you wouldn't get a whole lot of feedback. You get a little bit,
right?
Hey, man, this kind of sucked. You need to do this better.
Right, right.
So guess what? Go rack it up. You can take your coat off while you rack it up, and then as soon as you get it racked up,
right.
go get a drink, and we're gonna run it again.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was fast paced. We did so many evolutions, but you know what? At the end of the week, everybody was moving line in the same fashion
oh, yeah.
and doing
but
things
it's like,
together.
You look at it; it's like sports. Like you do 2 days and
yeah,
whatever
yeah.
you do.
Absolutely,
it's nonstop. Like that same mentality is here. Like,
and the Live-In Academy has it's transformed. You know, a little bit. It is still the same principles, but how we're going about it, how we're achieving it, what we're teaching, how we're teaching. You know, some things that have evolved around
mm-hmm.
here, you know, some minor changes, some minor hiccups go along with it. But we've also built out some really good things as far as, like, when I was here, a big difference in it we didn't have any plans for like lunch or dinner or anything. So like we had to come back here and scramble for lunch.
Right, right.
And then try and get back down to the training center and bust out the rest of the day. Well, now we're to the point where a member's wife and her friend are both EMTs, and they both take off the entire week.
Wow.
And what they do is they come down and they take care of the guys. They make sure that the vitals, mm-hmm. set of vitals are taken every morning.
Right.
You know, working in that heat.
Yeah.
We're not the guys that, you know, we're going to be like, oh, you know, don't wear your turnout coats for this evolution because
right.
it's hot. I don't know. You're going to wear it, but you're going to get an extra couple of minutes to
right.
make sure you're hydrated and you're good. So, like, they take great care of the guys all week. If there's any injuries, they'll touch them up.
Mm-hmm.
If they evaluate them and think they need to go be seen at a facility, then we'll get them there and take care of that. But, like, that aspect of it wasn't built up when I was here. Now, you know, dinner's provided, lunch, dinner, everything for these guys for that week, and the staff
right.
that works it. Everybody that does work it is from within.
That's awesome.
You know, two of our chiefs are state instructors, so they're able to take care of the local level burns, and we have guys that are cut loose to Stoke through HAC.
Right.
So we're able to do that. And we write out a map of the week that includes the schedule.
Right.
So you know you're doing every day.
Oh, every day has a schedule.
You wake up and
yep.
you know what you're doing.
And we tweak that as needed. If one year we see that something's not working real well anymore, we'll adjust the time frame on it, cut it out, add
right.
something. But like, you're getting scenarios on everything as far as every type of residential fire. You're getting some mid-rise work. You're running long lines. You're doing lines over top
mm-hmm.
of ladders. Because, like, no, that's one thing that I realized, you know, being out and around and talking to people
right.
have to train on that.
Right.
And it's like, well, what are you going to do when you're on the Charlie side of a building, running a line, and there's no door because it's an apartment building, and you got to get to the second floor?
Yeah.
Right.
Game plan. I'll wait, you know. And
right.
it's, oh, well, yeah, you know, we do it. Okay, well, when's the last time you did it?
Yeah.
Well, we're hitting these kids with that right in the mouth. Hey,
right.
you're going to get into all kinds of different scenarios here.
Yeah, we're
going to
do it.
This is one of them. So we're going to see how you do with it.
That's great.
And then, you know, from there, we get into some forcible entry. We try not to broaden it out too much because the bottom line is at the end of the day, they're running the engine company.
Yeah,
right.
So
we want them being a smooth engine company,
mm-hmm.
getting lines to the right places, picking the right lines without
mm-hmm.
having to have their hands held for it.
Exactly.
You know, getting the lines in place quickly and really working in that aspect. And I think it sets the tone. It gives them a level of expectation of what
right.
their performance should be for us, and gives them a sense of responsibility that they're being entrusted with.
Yeah,
with coming into the department.
Like you said, with young kids coming in here, it's a big thing.
Yeah.
I mean,
you said, you have 18-year-olds, you know, fresh out of high school.
Yeah.
They're coming in here and they're expected to do their job.
Yeah.
And you know, it comes down to it. It's a job.
Well, yeah.
You know, you're staying here. You're expected to perform at a high pace, at high quality, and
that's what's funny. It's like you said, that age. It's like you might have guys that were juniors for a year or two, maybe not even in it. Like I said, you might have some totally fresh kids, and then you turn them over, and or at least at you know, it's called probie school,
right?
In like a month or two, and you're like, all right, game time.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you completed your how long is it roughly? A week? Week and a half?
Limit calendar is 8 days.
So 8 days. So you know,
2 weeks.
Yeah, you know, you turn 8 days later, you pass your living academy. It's done.
Right. Now
you that engine goes out on a call, you're expected to be
right. to
hot,
do
you know,
one of the spots.
To do whatever your riding position is, whatever your seat is.
And then
you're expected to perform the job.
You also get into the factor of that, you know, you got kids coming from all over.
Right.
You know, not only different portions of the state, but different states.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, we've had one from the outskirts of Boston, Mass here.
Huh.
We've had
wow.
One from Mississippi, one from Georgia, one from the state of Michigan, Virginia, Maryland, Jersey. So, you know, we've gotten guys and we've attracted interest from
yes.
a lot of different places, but think about how different fire services, county to county.
We always say, town to town,
town
are opposite.
Exactly.
Town to
county.
County.
And you're looking
state,
countrywide.
Right. And, I mean, you see the trends that go into different areas, and well, guess what? We're putting four of those guys that never worked together in the back of an engine together.
Yeah,
we want it all to go smooth.
Right.
Well,
so
that's a great hope.
Yeah.
Unless you do something about it.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
You can't,
so
can't,
you have to
can't just throw four people in the back of an engine that have never seen each other and expect
good luck.
So, now, if someone comes out of state, how does, you know, you obviously you go through your living academy, and then can they challenge a Pennsylvania test, or they have to go through the Pennsylvania?
Or is it probe board?
So Pennsylvania accepts the probe board stuff. If we've run into an incident where, you know, or I shouldn't say an incident, but an issue where one guy had a state-level certification and it wasn't pro boarded. Mm. And at that point, you got to obtain the curriculum and submit it to them. And if the
right.
curriculum matches up, then they'll issue the state cert for
yeah.
it.
Okay.
And then you can go get that pro boarded. You know. So there's a, and again, that's something that HAC works with us on. They take a look at stuff and they know
they're
the ins and the outs of that.
They're
so we can,
yeah.
I think it's a very good place to be able to go and get some training in and have on your side
right.
on
mm-hmm.
things
yeah,
essentially.
Right.
So, but yeah, it's all about setting that tone. I think
it's
that's
working.
Where it's not a perfect
it's,
system
it's,
that we run, but I think it's
but the system that's working.
It's getting the job
you know.
Done pretty efficiently so
you can,
far. So
you can always fine tune things, but when they're working, you keep status working, and then you build from there. You
right.
don't ever want to take two steps back.
Yeah.
You always want to take. I mean, it's inevitable.
No,
it's
course.
Inevitable.
It's life.
You're always you're always going to get knocked down at some point, but it's how you rebound and how you get back up.
Right.
Yeah.
So you know, we talked about obviously they start on the engine. How long are they on the engine until they get the opportunity to, say, move over to the rescue engine or, say, start, you know, the truck's classes and everything along that nature?
So the rescue engine's kind of lumped into the engine company. When they come in, you know, go through Living Academy and everything like that, it's like we talked about earlier, we'll adjust our near-future training schedule to address anything that we see that needs work
right.
throughout the week. Like, hey, we got to address this real quick.
Yeah.
And then from there, they go through their probationary packet, which it includes some station-specific stuff, some run routes,
mm-hmm.
Apparatus inventories, your standard stuff like that, and then some skills. And then from there, like I said, the rescue engine kind of gets lumped into it, and we'll work vehicle rescue training a little bit more in depth into it. And, you know, we start getting them into the RIT stuff, even
right.
though they're not able to find. That's the only
mm-hmm.
call that they're not able to ride. Either engine company on would be a RIT call. We're not taking anything lower than an engine qualified guy on that, and
mm-hmm.
you know that's what they're
but,
here for. So,
yeah.
So from that point on, we'll start working on that kind of stuff, and then you know, once we get the group together, and we'll tell them, hey,
right.
you know, look, this is where you're at. You know, as far as the vehicle rescue spectrum goes, and then once they get taken off of probation, once they submit everything and complete that, that's when they get their black fronts, and they're able to run the RIT calls. Now, once you get your black front, you're also eligible to jump over onto the truck and fill an inside seat, depending they're open. So, like, when we're stacked and we're riding with six on that, no, they're all going to be
right.
qualified.
Yeah, truck
guy. But now, say I got somebody that comes in, whether it's a local member that's just going to come in and staff sometimes, or whether it's another live-in that comes in late in the game. You know, I got some guys that are still trying to get some classes called up to get off of probation.
Right.
They run into scheduling issues. So I got a mix of probies and black fronts. Well, if I got the engine staff and I'm running one late on the truck, I'm going to give that one over to the truck
right.
and make up the staffing. And the big reason for that is because of our riding assignments and everything like that.
Yeah.
When the engine's running heavy, which, you know, we're pretty fortunate that
mm-hmm.
we're rolling with a good amount of manpower on that right out the gate. When the engine's riding heavy, there's a can seat and a surge seat built
mm-hmm.
into it, where if it's full, we can split them up once they get inside. And
you
don't just have your officer trying to be aware and search off the hand line. You got two
right.
guys that are going
right.
to stay on the same floor, and they're going to search the opposite rooms from you.
Right.
And you know it's some of the forcible entry stuff. So when you bridge over into the truck, they're going to be obviously if you're riding a seat of the truck and you throw one on, you're going to be looking out for them a little more. You know that's the one guy on the
mm-hmm.
crew or the two guys on the crew that don't have.
Not up to speed,
our
yeah.
level of
right.
acceptance for the skill set on the truck. Not saying that they don't demonstrate it, but
still got to do your time here.
Right,
yeah.
absolutely. And,
right.
and they're going to have somebody looking out for them a little bit more because I know that
mm-hmm.
I'm riding with somebody that doesn't ride this thing that often and is just getting their feet wet.
Right.
They're not supposed to be going to the roof or chucking ladders right out the gate until they start getting into truck school and cover that stuff, and then we'll tell them, hey, you know,
mm-hmm.
cut it loose a little bit more, start mixing it up, start riding in different positions and getting real-world experience
right.
while you're going through the truck class. And then the truck class is, it's like 160 hours.
Wow.
Mix of some classroom sessions, a couple written quizzes, and then, you know, practicals that, you know, we have skill stations
right.
set up.
That's been
yeah.
built by you guys over time, or is that?
Correct.
Wow.
And it's evolved, again,
right.
completely. Like, when I lived here, it was hard-pressed for that thing to leave without six guys on qualified.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now we're looking at four,
right.
three.
Well,
and it's
yeah.
the staffing.
That's
changes.
The staffing
exchange. Right. Exactly.
It's the world.
So, you know, we're looking at that, but through the priority seating assignments and everything like that, based off of our arrival position, we're taking on the building jobs that need done. We're able to have our guys ready to take on what they should be taking on at that point, confirm it with, you know, whoever the IC is, if you're late in the game, getting there on an extra alarm or on a long-term away game, if you will, like a little bit of a drive to get there. So, you know, we're giving them that kind of stuff. But at the same point, like I said, when I left here, the driver didn't need to do anything other than drive it there,
set it up,
and then he was your safety man on the table. We don't have that luxury anymore.
No one does. I don't think anybody does.
Yeah, so, I ride with three at work.
Right.
The driver goes to the roof.
Absolutely. And
so one guy goes in, one guy goes the other way.
That's where it's transferred.
Right.
Like, we've evolved that. We've realized that, you know, the staffing level isn't consistently what it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
When it is, it's a good day.
Right.
But, you know, the driver's a roof man now. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not written that way because we want a full crew on it every time.
You kind of have to overcome.
It's written in there as, hey, man,
you're going to work.
You're multitasking.
I think by us, we seem to get lucky. Like, I get lucky with something like that. We'll use the fire the other day as prime example.
Right.
You know, I had the buggy. I had...
Now he calls it a buggy.
I'm trying to fit in. I'll call a Tahoe. I'm going to. But I had my car, right? The captain fire was at work. Both lieutenants were there. One lieutenant drove, one was in the front. Jacked the truck up, and he was on the ground.
Right.
The truck was, we saw the picture of it. The truck was set up.
Right.
It was ready to go. He was on the ground. You know, no one has the luxury of just standing on the turntable anymore. I mean, I don't want to use it unfortunately, but, you know, you do have some towns. But you do have some towns, you know, by us, where driving is the senior guy, the older guy's job.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not going to ask my senior guy who's been in the fire service 50 years to, you know, jump on with us.
Yeah.
If he's going to stand on the turntable, he's going to stand on the turntable. It's just, it's extra work for, you know, the four or five guys sitting in the back of the truck. And you got to take that as you take it.
Right.
You know, okay, if we, you know, we got a driver who's going to do something, he's going to set the truck up and he's going to go to the river, he's going to help us with whatever we need.
But like you said, that's knowing your crew, knowing your guys.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely,
you know, and that's the way it's been, you know, here.
That's what I'm trying to, you know, it's taught here, and that's what
what I want to get into now is, like, we're breaking shops, and it's tough to set up seating assignments by us.
So tough.
Yeah. But like you were saying, if you know their task priorities per seat, you know which seat's a priority versus, you know, we can't go, I can't fit 16. But I know that, you know, position behind the driver is, I don't know,
nozzle, whatever it is.
And that's the priority of the crew.
I think what's nice with that is, you know, you guys have always run, you know, since you've been here, you said there's been seating assignments. Mm-hmm. You know, they have the live-ins who come in 18 years old. This is, we don't care where you're from. We don't care what you did before here. You're going to be a member here. You're going to sit in this seat. You're going to be the backup man.
Mm-hmm.
End of story. You're going to sit in this seat. You're hitting the hydrant, and then you're coming up to the seat.
Right.
If you don't like it, then maybe consider another place to live. You know, by us, we've never had it. So to implement something like that is extremely difficult.
Well, they had to make that change at some point.
Exactly. Right. You know, at some point you have to make change, and it's an adapt and overcome type situation, and it's, you know.
I still think it's doable. I mean, look, we got rotor raised by us now. They said it couldn't be done. Now everybody's getting one.
I could deal with the rotor raised, but take those Mars light off. I can't take any of them. But, you know, exactly. Like you said, the change, it had to happen at some point. And you're right there 100%. It's just getting the SOG and getting everything done the right way is what takes what takes the time.
Well, so, I mean, you look, and so, like, we got a lot of guys that, you know, when I first came here, there wasn't a whole lot of guys that, I mean, there was a good amount, probably more than any, but, you know, 15 years ago, there was substantially less fire department jobs.
Right.
You know, especially before that, in the years coming up through. So, like, we had a lot of really good firemen that never got picked up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it wasn't because that wasn't their goal. It was because the availability of those jobs wasn't there. The departments were not as big as they are now. They weren't growing the way they were. And, you know, it was a lot harder for them to get hired. Mm-hmm. So, like, I got guys here that are,
really
laying tile, but they're some freaking awesome firemen.
Right.
And, like, they have years and years of experience. Mm-hmm. And, like, to get them to buy into the live-in program and really allow it to accelerate through all those years And then, you know, you get to the point where I came in 04, and, like, it was just, it continually pushed and continually pushed. And even, like, in my early years here, there was some pushback,
right,
you know, from guys that, you know, it was home response before that. It was mm-hmm. still home response driven. We're now staff driven versus the home response mm-hmm. driven. So, like, you know, we still have a little bit of it, but it's not the majority of it,
right,
you know, and that's a good thing. But, like, the way those guys pushed it all along and everything like that, not having those careers, well, now you insert, like, the group that moved in, like, the year that I lived here, and each year after mm-hmm. that continually build, well, we're putting more and more guys into career jobs. And, like,
right.
I mean, we're not putting there. They're going out and achieving themselves, you know, with some good motivation and guidance from
right.
the, you know, other guys here. Mm-hmm. And, like, now we're, you know, all working out in other jurisdictions,
mm-hmm.
and we're able to compare notes and see what works, and now it's all pouring into this place. And
right.
now we're able to look at what we have here, look at what we're doing other places, talk to each other, mix it all up, and figure out a really good way to try and
right.
move forward, keep things fresh. Like, right behind this is the run order for the box alarms for each type of building and everything like that. And nobody in this area put together response SOGs and send them out to each other about, you know,
right.
hey, if a box goes out, you know, you're getting 4-2-1, and this is what they should be doing when they're pulling in. That was an unknown. And, you know, we broke that ground for the metro area here and sent them out to the mutual aid companies and said, please don't call us for an assignment
right.
when you come into our area.
This is what we're expecting.
This is what the assignment is. Print them off, put them in your rigs,
right.
Come in, and if it's work, then we're just going to say,
yeah,
you're second engine and you're going to work.
You're responsible
and that's,
for X,
that's
y,
what
or Z.
You're supposed to do. And now that has caught on, and, you know, being small municipality driven area, everybody's got their own little tweaks to it, but at the same point, it's all around about the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's to the point where people aren't calling, and it's a great thing to see is the progression of it, but people aren't calling and asking for an assignment anymore.
They're
in this immediate area. They're calling. And more so verifying their assignment is still good for that incident commander. So, like, hey, I'm coming in. I'm going to be your second due engine.
Like,
and
I'll
get a line for the alpha side for the backup. And then the commanding officer, all right, cool. I copy you doing this
check.
And blah, blah, blah.
Boom.
And boom, exactly. So there's not as much question.
You don't have that, like, listen, when you show up, you're going to go here, make a right, make a left, pick this up, pull this, bring these hand tools. It's just...
Yes. And
right.
it's... It is good to cut down on that radio
right.
traffic and
like,
get people
yeah,
thinking
like,
for themselves and picking up
right.
a secondary water supply
right.
on their own and
well, that's
and
like
not. So
we had an incident like that. Not I don't want to call it luck, but you know, just knowing the guys that were in the incident,
yeah.
you know, with the communication that was going on and a lot of units coming, you know, we kind of knew that we could pick up each other's. Like you know, I know this guy was coming this way, but I saw there was only one hydrant. Well, we're coming in closest. We'll take the feed, get you a secondary versus somebody, you know, just because of geography, period. You know, and like you said, that comes from training, but, you know, it's, I think it's more so, like you said, it's like the more you talk to guys, like, you know, you had it within your little municipality and growing, like that's like, that's like, I feel like a bunch of us that night were kind of on the same page, and that's why it kind of worked.
Yes, I feel like we'll use by us for an example that. Most of us are all on the same page. You know, we know what we're doing when you get there.
Right.
Regardless of what you come on, regardless of what your call is, we know what you're doing. Aside from, you know, being a fast team, you know, all right, listen, you know, I'm the two-out engine, or I'm the engine company. Not on the alarm card. I'm your, you know, reported smoke engine.
You're doing whatever.
I'm doing whatever the second engine needs to do.
Right.
Because theoretically, you will be the second engine. You know, daytime staff or whatever it is. I think we all understand that concept. And at the same time is, not only do you have to understand that we understand it, you still have to try to get the older guys and the older generation to buy into it, so you still have to appease them by doing it the
mm-hmm.
old way. And okay, you're the second due ladder company, I need you to set up on the Charlie Delta side, put your bucket in the air, and you still have to kind of walk them through because there you have those guys who just the mentality that they don't want to change. That they're like, well, you didn't
make it a point.
You didn't tell us what to do.
Right.
Well, how do we know that you wanted our ladder near?
Well,
it's common sense. If I call you for a ladder truck, I don't want just
using
a
ladder.
I don't want it just to sit there.
Right.
It's common sense. So it's.
But now you factor that into the living academy aspect and the living aspect for us all together.
That's breaking.
So now, like, now some of these kids that are coming from these rural companies and everything like that, you know, small town Pennsylvania or wherever, they're coming here and, you know, a little bit less structured.
Right.
You know, it's just how it is out in those open areas. And so, like, they're coming here, and not only are they getting, oh, yeah, you know, this is what the first engine, the second engine, third engine, so if we're
right.
driving in this order, this is what we're supposed to do. But then, like you said, you touched on the riding assignments. You break that down, and, well, now what? So, wait, now, how does that affect me? Well,
right.
guess what? That week, they get to do an awful lot of it.
Right.
You know, the first 2 days.
Spot, flip them, pop,
right.
Pop.
The first 2 days are basically skill days.
Right.
And then, you know, showing them different methods and different tips and tricks to move, to run a line, and what
they'll
we deem acceptable and
right.
not. And then it comes time to, towards the end of the week, the last couple of days, we're running those scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
We're putting them under live fire conditions. And during those scenarios, they're riding different seats in that engine, arriving in different engine
mm-hmm.
positions.
Right.
And,
again, the matrix,
you know,
the full,
like,
matrix.
Yeah. So, like, when they do one of these running deals, they're going to sit there, and they are, they're going to get dispatched as a third new engine.
Right.
And in all reality, there's nobody there yet.
Exactly.
So what they're going to do is they're going to pull in. They're going to. We'll tell
mm-hmm.
the driver to position at a hydrant farther away, and we're going to make him run a long line and then go a line over a ladder to get in the rear, like we talked about.
Right,
you know,
right.
Something off the wall like that, so that those skills that they just practice are going to come out to play, and they can actually
right.
see it play.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, it's a training center.
But
it's,
still,
yeah.
that's
so
the
much
big
you
thing.
Can,
there's
is,
only so much you can do, but it's
right.
still ingraining the motions. You're getting, you know, you're getting that muscle
right.
memory, and you're getting that, okay, this is what I need to do when we get here.
But the
right.
big thing is, like, you know, what you guys are doing, and I think we're trying, for the most part, is bridging the skills with, like, making your mind work.
Yes.
Because there's guys that we know that could take doors just looking at it, like, just the skill set.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
knowing if they're thrown off today, you know, let's say you were dispatched last instead of, you're normally dispatched first, but you were dispatched last because somebody screwed something up. Now, how am I adapting, overcoming, and continuing with my responsibility?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the one we had around Christmas, like, nobody's taking bars off of windows. Still your job. I'm saying, you know, for my guys.
Oh,
but you know what I'm saying? The cognitive part wasn't, and I'll take the hit for it, you know, being their training guy for a while. I never really pushed the guys. I just wanted to make sure they knew how to pull a line, pull the line.
Right.
But now you see places and just discussing with guys, like, you know, spend a half the time on that and a little bit more time on why, who, what, when, or what, you know,
yeah.
all that.
Yeah.
Maybe something could blossom out of it.
It's a process, you know, and you look at being here and, you know, us an example, however many miles away it is.
150.
And just the difference in just straight tactics. And it's the same fire service. It's still the ultimate goal is, okay, we go to a fire. We want to make sure that life is preserved, so is property. Same goal all over the country. It's just how you do it. You know, when it comes to something like we were just talking about, it's, okay, they're ahead of the curve on us. And then you turn around and we say something and they look at us and go, oh, wow, we don't do it that way.
Right.
So I think it's...
You're ahead of the curve on something.
Yeah,
else.
Exactly.
Everywhere
you go,
challenges.
It's you have challenges and you have ups and downs.
And it's... I think the biggest thing in how we're able to get some things done and turn some guys around
mm-hmm.
in a pretty quick fashion and get some guys where they want to go, I think one of the biggest things is that we got some guys around here that are the people that they want people to be.
Right.
And that's a simple and complex thing in the same thing. And, like, they've worked their way up through it, and they want to see the younger guys that come in here and put the time in and bust their hump. They want to see them achieve the good things that they were able to start and go towards. And, you know, we want to give these guys the opportunity. And what better way to do that than to surround yourself by like-minded people who are
yeah.
motivated. And that's where, you know, these guys, I'm sure there's days where they hate each other.
Right.
Oh, I'm sure they're.
You know,
yeah.
And everybody has their days. There's days that I don't like my quote-unquote roommates.
There's good.
Not even a little bit. But,
yeah.
you know, there's also days where we were inseparable and we laughed
mm-hmm.
the day away. We had a
right.
good time. We got stuff done. That's firehouse life, and that's what it's supposed
yeah.
to be. And it gives these guys a look at that. And it, I think it really branches them off to head it in the right direction. And when they're fortunate enough to get picked up by a career department, they're able to
right.
to understand what is going to be expected of them because they already had some type of high
mm-hmm.
level of
yeah.
expectation
and it was
here. And
mm-hmm.
they
right.
achieved
you're
it.
You're going to
just
keep
so
molding it. You're going to keep building it,
yep.
refining
hit
it.
Hit that reset, bust your ass for your new department and keep going. And then, you know, we're lucky enough to get some of them to stick around
mm-hmm.
here. Or come yeah. back a day here and there, staff, and,
right.
and work with these kids and it all works out. It's good stuff. But
I'm saying even now, we're just sitting in the watch room and, like, you know, I'm guessing the pro leaves, these newer kids, they're watching the Chiefs game.
Yep.
The guy pulls up, and it's not a question. It's just it's the tradition and culture of it. You know, we do it at work. If she pulls up, if you're downtown, you're doing it, you know.
And that's in one area that I think is also a strong point of us. I think that we are very fortunate to be rich in the tradition that we have, but we're still not bent to that tradition to the point where we're closed-minded to checking new stuff out.
Right, so, and that's, you know, we always talk about it, like the guy, you know, the mentality of closed-minded versus open-minded.
Yeah.
But like, I mean, when we were first showing Mikey the den per se, you know,
yeah.
You went straight to the old pictures that built you,
mm-hmm.
And now there's all the whole side of the wing is your
yeah.
pictures
yeah,
per se,
you know,
and you're
exactly,
like, it's crazy to see that, you know, to like step back and be like, oh wow, no shit, that is what's happening. It is evolving and growing, but still maintaining
mm-hmm.
what it was.
Yeah, simple examples like the tower driver position we just talked about.
Right,
when the staffing change. Well, were we hard headed and said, nope, man, the tower's got to stay right on the turntable, and that's the driver's got to stay there, and he's got to set it up, and he's got to be a set of safety eyes on, you know, the guys in the bucket. Well, yeah, that's a great benefit to have, but
if there's no
like wires and everything like that that you're really trying to mm-hmm. work around,
exactly.
And I got to keep a close eye on
it. Right.
Hey, man, we got other shit to do.
Exactly.
Go do it.
Right.
Like,
don't
you're
just
driving
expect
the because you know it in
yeah.
and out. Go
right.
do what you know needs done. So, you know, that's just, like I said, a real simple example to bring up.
But it goes a long way.
Having the right mindset.
Yeah. The right mindset is, you said, it goes a long way. There's no other way around it. Kind of mesmerized by these guys watching the car, huh?
It's weird to, like, not be involved in something and see something happen. You know, because I think about it, like, for us, one of our big, not an issue, but maybe an issue, but by me is, like, it seems that the officers always take the garbage out. Just because of where we are in our timeline of the firehouse. And, you know, we're getting frustrated, but you know what? You still do it. You still take it out. You might remind the guys, hey, dude, come on. But
yeah,
like,
you do what you have to do.
But here it's like, I'm not trying to fluff it or anything, but I'm saying it's pretty neat. Like, you know, if you maintain it, if you keep working on it, expect it to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once you kind of start to, you know, you're going to get what you put in.
Yeah, there's that, and then there's... And you get what you put in, and it comes with in seniority, you know. We can come back here in a year or two, and the two kids washing the car right now aren't gonna have the mop and the suds in their hand.
Right.
You know, they're gonna be watching two younger kids do it. You know, it comes time and it falls with seniority. And it comes with, you know, you have like minded people in one building or they wanna get the same thing done. More hands get it done quicker than just one guy doing it by himself.
Right.
I think that's a fine line there with, like, pinning so much on probies. I'm all about, I'm not like, super sympathetic
mm-hmm.
and guys that really bust on,
I think,
on rookies.
Right.
You know, but I think that it, there again, like, it's a way where you can, if you handle those situations right, you can separate yourself and try and really turn people into good people. It's, you know, my mentality with it is that, you know, as long as they show the initiative to start the project, there ain't no problem with going and giving them a hand. They're
yeah.
right, it's the leadership portion. And,
yeah.
And not being too good to actually get your hands dirty and do
exactly.
work with your people. You know, seeing them get the initiative to go do it right there, like even if I was in the middle of doing something else,
go jump in.
Typically
right.
drop it and go give them a hand.
Right.
There again, that's that foot forward, that's that leadership, that's that, you know, instilling in your people that they're not the only ones that are allowed to do that work.
We've all
so
done
that
it. We're
when they got 2 years on a job and they think they're on for 15,
yeah,
you know,
they
don't just sit back and watch somebody else
right.
do it. They go over and help them because
right.
it's
yeah.
it is a mentorship program from start
Forever.
To finish in the fire department.
Right. I mean,
it is always. And
it definitely is. And, you know, it just, you keep people engaged and you keep the younger generation, let's say generation, younger guys in your firehouse. Not like they're just there to be grunts.
Yeah,
like, and you see that so often,
right.
you know.
You might do like the 2 seconds of, oh, that's cute. All right.
Yeah.
yeah.
You,
good
you,
job.
You,
I see what you're doing.
You know,
all right, let's
you,
go.
You see that where, you know, you've got
right.
a guy just is
like
I'm not, I did this, I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
Well, I understand it, and, you know, you earn the right not to to do certain things. But at
it's
the same time, at the same time,
everything.
Is everybody's responsible for everything when it comes to your firehouse, your second home. So it's like, all right, you know what? They took out the garbage. They want to do this. They want to do that. Let's give a hand here. Because, you know, they see the older guys doing it with you.
They're going to continue.
They're going to continue doing it. And you know what? When they're the older guys, they're going to be doing the same thing. And you have to keep
right.
it that way. Or it's just, it's going to die out.
Yeah.
And
that's...
Nah.
I can't let that go.
No, I agree. I agree.
Question. The the logo you guys have with the wings.
Oh, the Flying P.
What is that? Is that like a... I don't know. I've always seen it. I never asked about it.
So that's a symbol that's been on ladder trucks dating back to, I believe, the 75-foot scope. And it's just a design symbol that we use. For just like it says around it, the memory of our Purvis brothers. For those that came before us, just the tip of the cap on the rig. And now it's transferred over on everything that we have.
Right.
So, you know, it's pretty cool. It was on the old rescue engine. I don't think it was on a commander anywhere before that left. But, you know, all the new rigs, we got it put on it in some aspect.
Yeah.
The towers got it embroidered in the headrest of the seats. So it's just one of those things that, you know, shows that, you know, we don't forget about the guys that came before us, whether they're here, whether they're 6 feet under, whether they, you know, had moved on to bigger, better things, which is what we hope everybody moves on to from here when they do. But, you know, that's just our way of, like
that's
I said,
cool.
symbolizing it and
right.
making sure that guys, every time they look at the rig, see something that reminds them that there's
right.
somebody that came before them, there's somebody that did it the right way,
something will come
and their from. Expectation
right.
is that those people do it the right way now.
That's pretty cool.
Because that's what we pass along to.
Yeah, yeah.
So, cool. I've seen that surface, and I mean, it's not an independent design or anything like that.
Right.
But I've seen some similar things pop up from time to time, and you know, it's cool. Those are little pride things. This place is absolutely full of pride, and that is one of the reasons that like I still enjoy being here, is because these guys, they get it. Like they keep their shit tight around here, man. Like you walk in at any time, and the firehouse pretty much is gonna look about like it is now.
That's what I'm saying.
We had 3 days of rain. You know, the floors might be a little bit dirty.
Right.
They might not get the new floors yet, but you know. For the most part, the cabs and the rigs stay pretty clean. The guys are pretty good about wiping those down and getting that stuff out of there because that's not good for us anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
then, you know, as far as the pride, they wax these things a couple times a year, make sure the chrome gets done. Firehouse stands tall, and it's they come up with their own ideas, and that's there again is enabling your people to be the people that you want.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's what I'll hit on before we finish up, because when we were talking earlier, it's like one of my things, not that I'm having an issue with, but like, you know, we talk about, I'll call you for advice, is like, you know, engaging people, like having them run with their own project, you know, like, you know, instead of putting them like, listen, you don't get, no, you still work with them, keep them engaged, work with them, and just that the whole development process that keeps them here, per se. Yeah, that's a whole.
And there again, like you say, engaging your people, like, I think that you lead them in the right direction and everything like that, but it also, like I said, it's enabling them to become who they should be.
Right.
And when I say they should be, that means the productive member of the department,
mm-hmm.
you know, and be somebody that puts the time in to be able to take the reins and keep things going and down the road. But simple example, like you talk about trying to get these guys to come into themselves and everything like that. The different living groups have done different things around here as far as buying bricks to put on the memorial of the firehouse with everybody's initials and the years they lived here, to making their own live-in shirt, getting that design and approved through the board to get for the company. And then, you know, there's people running around with the shirt designed by the live-ins for the company.
Right.
You know, they take on different projects around here. They bring things up that they want or don't want to see. And, you know, they have a real voice in here. And, again, what that does is that enables them to take that responsibility and learn how, what, when to apply their assertiveness and actually grow into these roles.
Right.
And they're treated like adults and are treated like
right.
responsible individuals, because that's what you expect out of them. You're not going to get responsibility out of people if you treat them like a toddler. You know, and that's, nobody wants to come into a place where rules are all over the place
right.
and, you know, there's such, nah, man, these guys got, they have their minimum requirements that they got to do, and they have their minimum things that they got to do, but as long as that stuff gets accomplished, like, hey, have fun. That's why
right.
we're all here. Like, everybody likes doing a job. That's what they want to do. They want to come to work. They
right.
want to have fun, right? They want to be in a firehouse. They want to have fun. You know, play in a hockey league together.
Right.
You know, give us a schedule so we know when we're going to be a little light because everybody's going out to do stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Plan a live-in night out. That's one thing that I got into their heads, and I know Lieutenant Seed's very big on still instilling that
mm-hmm.
in those guys. Get a night where you all get together and get out of the firehouse and go. Again, shoot an email to the
right.
living coordinator
heads up,
right? And be like, hey, man, you aren't going to have any live-ins tonight.
Right.
And you know what? Guys are going to pick up the slack. And, you know, and they do those kind of things. They got a That's kitty, right. They got a chest freezer that they bought and put in a pantry. Like, they've done it up, and they've expanded it. And really, the transition phase for them is going to be much easier because they came and they put some work in here and right. got some things accomplished. And not just on a fire ground, being in a firehouse. Being in a firehouse isn't, so. Yeah,
that's,
yeah.
That's 90% of it.
Yeah, exactly. Being in a firehouse isn't exactly an easy task for some people, and that's happening sometimes. So, but it's good, man. It, like I said, the guys that got it upright and moving in the first place, really, you know, I'm sure that they weren't real sure that they were kicking the ball in the right direction right. from time to time when they were trying to figure some stuff out as a company over the early years, but it turns out that they were kicking in the right direction for us. And, you know, we're able to still attract people and still get people in, even though other places are popping up around us, which is competition, which is good because it forces you to try and find some new ideas.
Now you've got to build
up. Right, exactly. So, you know, you got to keep up with the Joneses and try and get ahead of some things. So, it's a constant evaluation process here, but there's some things that we've been doing the same way for a good handful of years.
And it's working.
That's just going to be the way it is. Right. So, it's good to have both of those aspects.
I think you have to have both of those
explored.
Aspects.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So.
I think that's just pretty solid. Megan, I really, you know, we really appreciate the open door. Again, I mean, it was just a funny moment. I was like, well, let's go try these guys. So, you know, years ago when we built 935, and why not? Let's make a day trip out of it.
So
if anybody wants to join or anything.
So you can find us on Facebook real easily. You can contact Lieutenant Seeds is the one that's in charge of the recruitment stuff. And he is taking emails for that at livinrequest@progressfire.com. You can shoot him an email and he'll get back to you, schedule an appointment for you to come here, meet up with us, go over the program a little bit more in depth, and then figure out what's what. So that's the easiest way to do. We only take emails for the inquiries until we start getting some things set up. So, but doors are always open for anybody to stop by. We always have that policy. Bay doors are up from about probably March until
snow.
Until
snow the next time.
Thanksgiving, we'll call it, roughly. So, you know, doors are always up. Everybody's always welcome.
That's awesome.
Come in, stop by, get a look at the firehouse. It ain't anything, but it's special to us. You know,
it's definitely...
It's got its history, yeah. So...
I think that's what people need to see.
Yeah.
It's its history. I think that's one thing that a lot of firehouses are getting away from. When we talked about it, you know, when we first got here, you know, we walked into, you know, your the hangout room, we'll call it, and you have all the pictures of the fires you were at, and you said it, you're like, I don't need to look at them, I was there.
Right.
I understand what's going on here, and in the wall you showed us was what built this place, and we talked about how new stations all over the place are more office type buildings. Mm-hmm. You know, they're more geared toward getting your work done. When you're done work, watch TV for a little bit, go to sleep.
Right.
You know, there's no history in it, and I think
the homey feel.
I think we're all guilty of that in a sense that sometimes, you know, you throw away history that you shouldn't. I know, you know, where I am, we're guilty of it 100-fold.
Mm-hmm.
It was a vote. No one thought about it. And then 4 years later, everyone's sitting in a room going, you know, we're a bunch of assholes. We really are a bunch of assholes. Listen, it's been a conversation as of recent.
Right.
So.
Now, that's, and again, I think that's a great area of importance here is, like, the guys know that the, you know, the wall that you're talking about that has all the pictures from, you know, Christ, the beginning of time on, those aren't coming down. And they know that. And it is told to them that, no, those are not, because that is 100% the history of the department.
Right. Yeah.
That is what got this place going. Those were the early years. Those were, you know, when
that's
a lot of things
today.
Were... Exactly.
Yeah.
They were when things were getting figured out and why we're set up the way we are. And
right.
those are some of the fires that shaped how we're doing what we're doing. So those are not going anywhere. And, you know, a lot of people in these pictures aren't alive in this day and age anymore. You know, like, a lot of them are dead. So, you know, it's, again, a tip of the cap. We do have family members of those people still stop by from time to time when they're in town, and we've had them walk back there and see a picture of, you know, one of their family members.
Different.
Hey, that's my dad, or, you know, that's
right.
my uncle. Him and my dad used to run here, and it's... it's pretty cool to go through those stories and see that people are appreciative that the history of that person
right.
in this department didn't die when that person did, or
yeah.
you know, when they left the organization.
Right.
And that's, you know, people throw the brotherhood term out there all the time. Everybody loves to get on the topic of the whole meaning of brotherhood and if it's still alive. Well, you know, you can go some places and see that it is, and like these guys said it to you. The best way I put it is they get it.
Yeah.
Like they understand that they're here for each other. They're here because of certain people,
right.
and they're here to represent certain people, and they act accordingly.
Right.
So, and that's all in how you bring these younger guys in. And, we're fortunate that we've had some really good people in leadership positions here for a lot of years, and just got it going in the right direction. We're happy that we can pick it up and keep running with it. So.
Hell yeah.
A lot of things to be thankful for around this place.
Absolutely.
Cool.
So, but yeah.
All right. Again, thanks, Kyle. We really appreciate it.
Yeah. Much thanks to everybody here.
All right, yeah. No fancy ending.
No, not today.
We're just going to close it.
Not today.